Praise to you, God, for all your work among us. Yours is the vigor in creation. Yours is the impulse in our discovery. Make us adventurous, yet reverent, and hopeful in all we do. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, we continue working our way through Mark, this year B of our lecture. Remember, Mark is the first gospel written and the shortest. Things tend to happen immediately in Mark. There is no birth narrative in Mark. Rather, it begins with the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist, and then Jesus immediately gets down to work. He calls his disciples and begins his public ministry of teaching, preaching, and healing. He confronts the established authorities. He heals on the Sabbath. He preaches wisdom and authority unlike anything anyone has ever seen or heard. We have heard in our gospel lessons over the last several weeks, Jesus and his disciples have moved through various villages ringing the shores of the Sea of Galilee. They have moved back and forth across the sea between the Jewish villages on the western shores and the pagan villages. Parables about the kingdom of God, and appearing to have power, authority, and control over demons. He cures the chronically ill, and even seems to raise the dead. His reputation grows and spreads, and he is soon met by huge crowds wherever he goes, on both sides. As we heard in our lesson last week, people both prominent and unnamed. Now it's time to visit home. In our reading this morning, Jesus returns to Nazareth. Nazareth is roughly 35 miles west of the Sea of Galilee, and today is a city of about 80,000 people, populated predominantly by Muslim and Christian Arabs. In Jesus' time, it would have been a small, rural Jewish village of maybe 1,000 people. And he came. We get no indication in our reading that he was met by anyone, let alone large enthusiastic crowds. It is certainly not like Jesus to fly under the radar at this point. He goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath and teaches, and those who hear him are amazed, but not really in a very positive way. They are almost derisive in their comments. Who is this guy? This little Jesus, Mary's boy? Isn't this the kid that grew up here? He was just a simple carpenter. In a patriarchal society like that of ancient Israel, referring to Jesus as Mary's boy without reference to a father would have been a huge insult. It would imply grave doubt about his parentage. All this is confirmed, we are told. They took I'm reminded of the old adage, you can never go home again. Right as it may sound, there is usually a grain or two of truth in such cliches. It seems, then as now, our human nature can sometimes get in the way of our discernment and understanding. Our preconceived ideas and attitudes can often be roadblocks on the road to insight, greater understanding. Our impressions who and what people were can often obscure our ability to truly see who and what they may have become, or even who they have been all along. I think many of you know I lived in Orlando for a long time, and a good part of that time I owned a really neat house near downtown. It was an old and established neighborhood. One afternoon, I answered a knock at the front door to find two men and a woman I turned out that the three of them were siblings. Their parents had built the house some 40 years before when the area was in development, and they had all grown up. They were in town for a family wedding and decided to drive down. Anybody here ever do that? I did that once with my brother. We drove through this neighborhood we lived in when we were real little, and he looked around and he was like, "Whoa, this is really a dump." It was. But anyhow, these kids had grown up. They were all grown up now, but they had grown up in this house. They were in town for a family wedding, and when they saw the front door open, they decided, well, let's stop and see who's living in our house. It was their first visit to the old neighborhood since they had all graduated from high school decades before. As they stammered at the door, I knew what they really wanted was to come inside. I invited them in, and in the course of an hour or so, we went through every room in the house. And I learned a great deal about the history of the house. But the really amazing thing was watching their behavior as they came into the house. In the few feet between the porch and the foyer, as they came in through the door, all three of them evolved into their adolescent selves, right before my eyes. They argued and bickered other like you'd expect. Coming to the house seemed almost. How often do any of us fall back on old and usually dysfunctional behaviors when we go home to visit with family or old neighbors we may not have seen for some time? How many of us as adults have experienced visiting older parents or grandparents, aunts or uncles or neighbors who treat us as if we're still 15 years old? No matter what successes you may have attained as an adult or as a parent or as a professional person, you will always remain Susan or Bobby or worse, that old embarrassing nickname you gave up in the eighth grade. You can imagine then the difficulties the people of Nazareth had. Here was someone they had all known since he was in diapers, and now he returns as a popular. Some have even gone so far as to say he is the one, the promised one for whom they've all been waiting. Little Jesus, Mary's boy. How can someone born a simple peasant carpenter such a thing? Jesus is made. But Jesus does not push the. As always, Jesus stands his witness to the truth and the glory of God, but does not demand acceptance and compliance. He always allows each of us the freedom to choose. This reading teaches us there can indeed be risk in living our faith. There can certainly be rejection, even anger and hostility. Living our faith is not always easy or neat. Living into the radical gospel message of the kingdom of God, the incomprehensible and unconditional love that is God, can be risky, difficult. History certainly bears this out. It seems to be human nature, again, that insists on there always being winners and losers. Yet we continue toward striving, living. As we celebrated the 4th of July this week, I looked to the founding generation of this country. In a time when the Western world was governed by crowned heads and ruled by royal and imperial decree, when one was born into one's station and expected to remain there all of one's life, they embodied the truly revolutionary. A new form of government. A government run by the governed. It allowed, at least in theory, for equal opportunity for all. Part of the revolutionary nature of our form of government is the fact that our system is an ever-changing and adaptable system. We do not shy away from asking tough questions. Rather, we require it. We may ignore them. But ultimately, they are addressed. As our society and culture continually discern a greater understanding of what it is and who it encompasses, we live into our expanded understanding. This week, we celebrated the ratification of the Declaration of Independence, wherein we resolutely proclaim that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Of course, that really meant and it really meant only white men. Oh, and only white men who owned property. It was only later we came to truly understand and embrace the much wider scope and universal application of that statement. And it comes in fits and starts. It has been difficult, and at times it has been messy. But that is how we grow as a nation and live. Preamble to the Constitution states it most succinctly. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union. I see in that statement a declaration that we continue to be a dynamic, ongoing work in progress, always striving to be a more perfect union. It is the same with the Church. We too are called to live into our discernment, to continually in our hearts, in our minds, what it is to live into the gospel message. We do not shy away from asking the tough questions, even when doing so may generate friction with some of our sisters and brothers. Our quest is not one of provoking confrontation, but rather discerning the truly radical gospel. It is sometimes risky, sometimes uncomfortable. It sometimes requires us to examine in both ourselves and others beliefs, prejudices, and behaviors we would prefer to leave. And it requires us to always bear in mind that whether we agree or disagree, we are all children of God. But our community of faith is a dynamic, evolving, and ever-changing commonwealth through which we continually are invited to strive toward the perfection that was once modeled for us by the Word. It is how we live in